First, Latino immigrants to Wisconsin are raising concerns about Republican efforts to halt the immigration order President Obama issued late last year. Some are saying that the actions in Congress and the courts could hurt the GOP in next year's elections. Chuck Kornbach reports.
At Candelas Hall in Milwaukee on the night of November 20th, audio speakers hooked to a television set were turned up so all in the Latino-oriented club could hear the president issue his immigration order, including this provision.
If you've been in America for more than 5 years, if you have children who are American citizens or legal residents, if you register, pass a criminal background check, and you're willing to pay your fair share of taxes, you'll be able to apply to stay in this country temporarily without fear of deportation.
Immigration advocates generally welcomed the president's words, and nearly 2 months later, many Latinos still backed the Obama plan. At the Milwaukee office of the advocacy group Voces de la Frontera, volunteer and local university student Elizabeth Perez talks about how the immigration order would help her family. Perez was born in Mexico and brought to California at age 4 when her parents came to the U.S. illegally. Perez came out of the shadows a couple years ago when the president deferred deportation of some children of undocumented residents. Now she'd like her mom and dad to feel safe in the U.S.
Just driving my siblings to school or going to work, something that they have to do to support our family, just like any other family has to support their kids. They could do it without fear.
But in recent weeks, Perez has started to worry about criticism of the president's immigration order.
The gentleman will suspend.
Yesterday, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives approved a bill that would eliminate funding for the Obama plan. South Carolina lawmaker Trey Gowdy derided the president's order.
He declared unilaterally that almost 5 million undocumented aliens will receive deferred action under some newfangled definition of prosecutorial discretion, Madam Speaker.
It's unclear if the Senate will go along with the defunding, and even if the measure passes, a White House veto is thought likely. But Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson says he'll still push for the bill.
You know, I'm not trying to pick a fight. That fight was picked, and all I'm trying to do is make sure that as much as possible we defend Congress's role.
The defunding bill is not the only attack on the immigration plan. Today in Texas, there was court action aimed at blocking the executive order. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is part of that lawsuit against the president.
In this country, you don't get to just move because you're frustrated with the timeline of the Congress, no matter what party's in charge.
Walker claims not to be worried about Latino voters being upset with him if his run for president continues. Contending Latinos also back candidates who expand school vouchers and help the economy. But Milwaukee Democratic State Representative Jocasta Zamarripa, who has the largest Latino constituency in Wisconsin, says Congress could have passed immigration reform years ago and still ought to act, as there are another 5 million undocumented residents not covered by the president's order. Zamarripa says more young Latinos will soon be voters and remember the conservatives' attack on the executive action.
We need to have elected officials that are responding to the concerns of this growing young electorate, and I hope that we'll have a real influence on the presidential election in 2016.
Details of President Obama's immigration plan are expected soon, even as Latinos wait to see what happens in the courts and Congress. Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio.
In an announcement from the White House today, President Obama is asking for expanded paid sick leave for workers across the United States. He asked Congress to pass the Healthy Families Act, which would allow workers to accrue up to 7 days of paid sick leave per year. And he's trying to pave the way for states and cities to pass similar laws.
Marcia McCormick is here to break down this new idea for us. She's a professor and the director of the Weifel Center for Employment Law at the St. Louis University School of Law. Marcia, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what does the president want to accomplish when it comes to paid family and sick leave?
Well, I think that the president wants to ensure that the large number of people who currently don't have paid sick time have access to it, and that they are free to actually take the leave when they need it.
How does the U.S. compare to other developed countries when it comes to areas like this, paid sick and family leave?
Well, we are probably the only industrialized nation that does not provide for any sort of paid family leave. And we are one of the very few that doesn't provide for pretty generous family and sick leave.
Let's talk some about the Healthy Families Act. It was introduced several years ago. What's in it, and why is the president bringing it back now?
I think the president is bringing it back now because actually this act, although it hasn't passed Congress, even though it's been introduced a number of times, is widely supported. By some estimates, the provisions within it are supported by about two-thirds to three-quarters of voters. Especially given the flu season we've had, it might actually be really good timing since sick leave is on people's minds.
And tell us a little bit more about what's inside that Healthy Families Act.
Yeah, so the act provides for a system by which employees could earn hours of sick leave up to 56 hours, or essentially seven full-time types of days of leave for every 30 hours they have worked. And that's the extent of it, essentially, the primary portion of it. But it also provides for some additional things. It allows people to take that leave that they would earn if they were ill with an ordinary illness or injured, if they had some kind of preventive care appointment, just going to a regular doctor appointment, if they have to take someone else in their family, including a child, anyone else they take care of, an older person they take care of, including their own parent or a parent-in-law, to some kind of doctor's appointment, or if that person is simply sick and needs some support. It also would allow people to take the leave if they are victims of domestic or sexual violence and need to access care because of that, or need to access some kind of legal help for that or pursue a legal remedy. And then finally, the legislation would provide that employers wouldn't be allowed to penalize people for taking this leave. So they wouldn't be able to terminate someone because they took the sick leave. They wouldn't be able to deny the sick leave that someone had earned, but they also wouldn't be able to count absences taken under the sick leave, even if they have a general policy of taking absences into account in deciding who to retain and who to fire.
Congress passed the Family and Medical Leave Act in 1993. How does the Healthy Families Act grow on that? What are the big differences?
Well, there are a lot of big differences. So the Family and Medical Leave Act only covers about 40% of the workforce. Basically, it only covers people who work enough hours, and it only covers people who work for employers who have at least 50 employees. The Healthy Families Act covers many more employers. It would cover any employer that had at least 15 employees. So much smaller employers than the Family and Medical Leave Act does. In addition, the Family and Medical Leave Act leave is not paid, and so it's difficult to take it if you are, especially if you're a lower wage worker, or your employer doesn't provide some sort of pay along with that kind of leave. Finally, the Family and Medical Leave Act only covers absences due to a serious health condition or a chronic health condition, in addition to caregiving leave. And so a serious health condition is defined as basically having to miss 3 calendar days of work, which is very different from the kind of hourly sick leave that the Healthy Families Act is designed to cover. It's also, the Family and Medical Leave Act can't be used for routine health care unless it's connected to some sort of chronic health condition.
Now, the president wants states and cities to take this up, to pass laws similar to the Healthy Families Act, and he wants Congress to spend a couple billion dollars to help them do that. Why pursue this at a state level instead of a federal level?
Well, there are a lot of good reasons to focus on the states. So for one thing, we do have a lot of state laws that mirror our federal laws. So, for example, in the discrimination context, all but 3 states also prohibit discrimination on the same basis as the federal government does, but the states have experimented a little bit more. They provide protection for different groups than the federal law does. And so states have more flexibility to cover smaller employers, for example, to tailor the system to fit their more local needs, and this would be true for cities as well. In some places, 7 days of sick leave might not seem appropriate, might not seem like enough for the particular conditions in that state or in that city, and so states are sort of being encouraged to experiment with options that might be more appropriate. There's one sort of additional piece to this, and that is that mandating that employers provide the leave may not be the only way to encourage having this kind of safety net for workers and protect the public health. We might want some kind of an insurance system set up, like unemployment insurance, where employees might pay in, employers might pay in, and the state might pay in to help protect people for taking longer leave. And that's something that's really administered most appropriately at the state level.
We're talking right now to employment law expert Marcia McCormick about President Obama's plan to expand paid sick leave for American workers.
And we want to hear your thoughts and your experiences. How do sick leave, family leave work at your job? Have you ever lost a job or a promotion because of an illness? Do you think expanded paid sick leave is a good idea? If you're an employer, what do you think of all this? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our discussion with employment law expert Marcia McCormick about President Obama's plan to expand paid sick leave for American workers.
And we're taking your calls. Do you think expanded paid sick leave and family leave is a good idea? How does sick leave work at your job, family leave? Business owners, how would expanded paid sick leave affect your bottom line and your workflow? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take our first caller now. We've got Daniel on the line in Milwaukee. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, thanks.
So first thing I want to say, well, I guess glossing over however many millions of dollars the couple billion dollar plan will cost Wisconsin taxpayers, I think like the government has an issue understanding the human condition when they're spending money on these things. A good employer will give sick people time off and won't lose their jobs. A terrible employer will fire people for taking time off. And that's not going to change if the government makes them give them time off. They'll just find something to fire them with. You know, you clocked in too early too many times, too late too many times. You know, you're not productive enough, whatever. The bad people who shouldn't be employers will continue mistreating employees. Doesn't matter who's forcing them to do what.
Great. Well, thank you for your perspective, Daniel. Appreciate that. And Marcia, what do you think about that thought? Is it possible that this will not fix the problem in the way that the president wants it to?
Well, it is possible that it won't fix the problem quite the way the president wants to, I suppose. And these sort of free market arguments are very popular against a lot of workplace legislation. I guess the sort of response to that, to some extent, is that, you know, if the market could really fix this, then in some places 40% or more of the workforce would have sick leave, and we would have run the bad employers out of business. So I think there are a lot of employers who need an incentive and need to understand how to make it work to provide this kind of leave, and that the legislation might help do that.
And I get at this from a business owner's perspective. A lot of smaller businesses in particular may feel under pressure already from the Affordable Care Act and new costs there. And with minimum wage hikes in some cities, is this too much at once? Is it going to put too much of a burden on small businesses?
It might feel like a lot of burden because they're each a different thing. But the one of the interesting things I think about this particular legislative solution is that, one, the number of hours that need to be paid is limited, first of all. And second of all, it's also made proportional to the number of hours the person actually works. And so part-time people who don't work a lot of hours at some of these businesses are not going to earn the number of sick leave hours potentially that a full-time worker would. So that's going to, one, make this more affordable. Second, really small employers under 15 employees are not going to be covered. And so it's only employers of 15 employees or more, which those employers probably could absorb the extra hours of pay, even in addition to some of these other costs.
And what about the prospect of this cutting into the bottom line, into wages for workers? It comes out there if sick leave happens earlier down the line.
Well, yeah, that's a good point as well, that this is one more benefit that isn't going directly to the bottom line into workers' paychecks. But overall, the amount that it might reduce wages 7 days over the course of a year or 56 hours over the course of, you know, however many hours a full-time person works in the year seems relatively minute. We're not talking about, you know, a dollar less, even an hour that a person's going to be paid. We're talking about cents less an hour at most. So in the aggregate, it might sound like a lot, that 7 days, but it can't have the effect that that some people are predicting, I think.
We'll go back to our phone lines now. We've got David with us from Onalaska. Hi, David.
Hello. I don't think that this is the president's job is to mandate employers provide sick pay. I think that, you know, a president's job is to keep our country safe and, you know, make sure that we have a relatively good economy so individuals can go out and, you know, try compete either in work or in whatever they want to do. And if an employee is not satisfied with his or her benefits, then it's up to that employee to get further training, go back to school, do whatever they have to do to improve their own condition. And that includes looking for an employer that may provide that benefit. That's what they really want.
David, thanks a lot for your call. Appreciate that. And Marcia, what about David's argument there that this is too much government oversight where it's not needed?
Well, you know, that's interesting. And I think he made a slightly different point than the prior caller about the level of government oversight, and that is the role of the president in doing it. And I think one thing is easy to misunderstand here is that the president didn't mandate the Healthy Families Act go into effect. What he did was say the rules are changing within the executive branch, and that was what his memorandum was about. And then he encouraged Congress to pass legislation that is in Congress. And so this is about Congress legislating, and that to the extent that it really is still about government government regulation, again, I guess I'd say if the market was going to fix it, the market would have fixed it.
And you can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. As we talk about the president's initiative to get states, cities on board with something like a Healthy Families Act and provide for 7 days of paid sick leave per year. And Marcia, let's talk a little bit about the president's memorandum to federal employees. What did he do?
He basically said that federal employees would get paid family time, actually. He increased the federal employees who would get paid sick leave, but also provided that federal employees would get paid family leave care. And so his memorandum is much closer to something like what the Family and Medical Leave Act covers rather than what the Healthy Families Act does. So he's acting in two related areas. One, caregiving leave, especially longer-term caregiving leave, and then also short-term, one-hour-at-a-time kind of sick leave.
Now, some people say that the push for more comprehensive family and medical leave policies are the next wave of feminism. Former Vermont Governor Madeleine Cunin has said this. Why is this often considered a woman's issue?
Well, historically, it has been a woman's issue, which is actually a little bit, which is the genesis for the Family and Medical Leave Act. Historically, women have been caregivers, and there's been this sort of cycle or, I don't know, recursive effect where because women are historically caregivers, they aren't considered real workers, and so they don't get offered the jobs, or they don't choose jobs unless they think those jobs will give them flexibility. And so we have this sort of cycle of women remaining caregivers. And that deprives men who are awesome caregivers of having the flexibility to be the one to provide caregiving within their families. And it deprives women who want to have more of a stake at the workplace. And so family and medical leave, by sort of providing it for everyone, men and women, the idea is that some of those stereotypes will break down.
We'll go back to our callers now. We've got Jared joining us in Green Bay. Hi, Jared.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have to admit, I'm a little bit annoyed with some of the callers, you know, saying how the market will fix this and this isn't the president's issue and they should just find better jobs. Those jobs don't exist. And whenever I hear this, I always feel like there's a lack of perspective because in the earlier part of the 20th century, it was terrible. We had robber barons, like people were literally killed over striking, and then we had unions. And then over time, those unions have been slowly dismantled and workers' rights are like being slowly eroded. And these laws exist for a reason. They're not a what if. We know what happens when workers aren't adequately protected. We've seen it before. It's terrible. Thank you.
All right, Jared, thank you for that. And Marcia.
It is interesting. We've definitely come a long way since the early parts of the 20th century, and the fact that we have is often being used as an excuse for why we don't need workers' rights. So I think it's an interesting development.
We've heard some different perspectives today on the president's push for this leave, this paid sick leave. What kind of buy-in will he get, do you think, from states and cities around the country?
That's an interesting question, because there are three states right now that mandate paid sick leaves for their employees, but there are efforts at other states. The fact that the president has started encouraging it and has asked Congress to help with funding may speed those efforts along.
Marcia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
That was Marcia McCormick, professor and director of the Weifel Center for Employment Law at the St. Louis University School of Law.